Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark, broadcasting live, 50,000 hot watts. Sorry, that was a broadcasting life flashback. So welcome to our monthly celebration of the Lord's Supper, a time when we, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, look back to the cross and remember the ultimate service that the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished for us. Now, when you look back at the cross, what do you see? I see a future and a hope. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 says this, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." And as it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 4, hope, which is the absolute confidence that God will do what he promises. Hope does not disappoint, because the unconditional love of God has been poured out within our hearts through God the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. I know that no matter what your circumstance is today, the Lord has an answer for it. And he will be giving you the answer to your questions and the solutions to your problems right soon. When you woke up this morning, the one thing that you could count on is that this day would introduce you to a death. Why? Because we live in the kingdom of death. We live in Satan's kingdom. You know, we like to call it the kingdom of darkness, but it's really the kingdom of death. And every day we wake up to a new death, and we know that Satan's plans for us today do not include life. You see, God has an enemy, and God's enemy runs this planet. And as the ruler of this world, he does not have life planned for you today. He is not looking for you to be edified today. As a matter of fact, you know, I got on the internet briefly this morning, and what I noticed is, what I've been noticing is a pattern. And the pattern is fear. There's a new bug, a little insect that eats your face or something when you're asleep, right? And every time you look anywhere on the internet, there's something on the internet to introduce fear into your soul. Well, we don't have anything to be afraid of. If the bug wants to eat my face, then the bug should eat my face. You know, I've had a lot worse things happen to me at the expense of people than having a bug eating on my face. So I'm not really worried about it. So we live in this kingdom of death, and there is no life here. There is only death in Satan, and there is only death here. And what he is constantly inviting us to is a lifestyle of death, a dead lifestyle. He is constantly instilling in us a fear about life. Well, he's welcome to do that, because God the Father sent his Son to conquer death. Romans chapter 8, verses 36 and 37 say this, "Just as it is written, for your sake, we believers in Christ are being put to death all day long. We were considered by the kingdom of death as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, the many forms of death, we believers in union with Christ overwhelmingly conquer." And what that really says in the Greek is, we are more than conquerors through our union with Christ, who loved us unconditionally. Now, God the Father speaks out concerning his loving Son in Matthew chapter 12, verses 18 to 21. He says, "Behold my servant, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom I, God the Father, have chosen, my beloved Son, my divinely loved Son, in whom I am, my soul is well pleased. I will put my God, the Holy Spirit, upon him, and he shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel nor cry out as he's tortured, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. He'll be ignored. A battered reed he will not break off, and a smoldering wick he will not put out until he leads justice to victory. The Lord will save the battered reed," that is the person who believes in him, "and the Lord will honor the free will of the smoldering wick," that's the one who rejects his salvation offer. Matthew 12, 21, "And in the Lord Jesus Christ's name, in his very person, the Gentiles, unbelievers, will have hope. Unbelievers always have hope. As long as they're breathing, they have hope because the Lord is the one who is offering the hope. Well, welcome to a place where we can learn to see deaths as part of God's plan for us, and where we can hear the message of life that always follows, because that's the way it is in God's plan. He gives you deaths, and those deaths feel heavy, don't they? Amen? Amen. It feels heavy, but he always follows it by life. There's death, there's the cross, there's life. We need to know that even though death is part of his plan for us, life is always planned to follow. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Lamb without spot or blemish who has taken away the sins of the world. The Lamb who came to give us life and to give it abundantly. All praise and thanksgiving we direct to him today, and we celebrate his cross and his resurrection and what it means to us collectively as a church and personally as individuals. Now, as God prepares our memories for reflection on the cross, let's hear June Murphy worship our Lord in song. The opening song is Lamb of God. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Inspire gratitude in our hearts every time we look back to the cross. Give us frequent reminders of how special we are to you. Remind us through our look at the cross today to always keep you and your Son first and foremost in our hearts and minds with a spirit of gratitude, thanks to the prompting of God the Holy Spirit who indwells us, along with your indwelling us, Father, and the indwelling of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit in Christ's name. Amen. Today's Lord's Supper celebration, the spiritual progression stage called death. The spiritual progression stage called death. What is the spiritual progression that Jesus offered us through his cross? Here it is. He offered us design, death, destiny, dearth, and the divine. And we began a look at the five stages of spiritual progression in our last Lord's Supper celebration. And if, as you look back to the cross, you're really thinking about all the things that Jesus Christ and his cross have done for us, you'll see this spiritual progression and the five different stages in the Lord's offer to his creatures: design, death, destiny, dearth, and the divine. And these aren't linear. These aren't things that happen one after the other. They're things that happen simultaneously. When we learn them, we learn them in a linear fashion. They aren't things to be obtained. This isn't a new take on spiritual maturity where you get to put on your back some task that you have to do. This is what God does for us and to us to advance us spiritually, to offer us a spiritual progression. And it would just seem strange, wouldn't it, that one of the first things that God offers you in your spiritual progression is death. So within each of these stages, you will see a death followed by a life. And in the Lord's Supper celebration, we look at the Lord's provision of death as a very important part of our spiritual progression. What does that mean exactly? We're going to look, but I want to just tell you that what it means is this. You know, well, I'm not going to tell you. I'll just hold off on it. Because then I'll get into it and I'll be 90 minutes down the road and then I'll go back and tell you the same thing I already told you. Let's just go to announcements. First, a few announcements. Mark your calendars. The next celebration of the Lord's Supper will be December 14th, which is the second Sunday in December. And I'm just wondering if I really just said that. Is this really the month before December? Because I'm trying to figure out where this year went. It went by really, really fast. Mark your calendars. There is no face-to-face teaching here at Barah Ministries next week, November 16th. So the lesson will be provided online, and it will be a read-only lesson because I'll be out of the country and I won't be able to record a lesson. So it'll be read-only, so you'll have to download the notes. And Debbie, you get the week off. Yay! Remember the little Snoopy thing? That's the Snoopy thing. Mark your calendars. No face-to-face teaching also on December 7th and December 28th. Happy birthday to Denny Goodall, who had a birthday on Thursday, November 6th. So happy birthday, my good friend. And then new audio and video, thanks to Mark Pomeroy. Mark, thank you very much. Mark was out here all week setting up our broadcast quality audio and video. We've been getting some, so this is the first time we went live today. So no more Pal Talk, right? Because now you can just go onto our website and click a link and you can see audio, you can hear audio, or you can see video. And live, which is wonderful. And so we've already gotten a few text message comments from people who have been watching live. Joel Prokoski said that the video is so good that it's bouncing off of my bald head in such a way that it's making it very hard for him to see. So my suggestion to Joel is that he send his next paycheck of about $3.95, and that'll be a great first contribution to some lights that can kind of soften the beauty of this bald head. His wife, Deanna, said that the video is so clear that she could see the boogers in my nose, which right, sent me right to the Kleenex box. So if you guys noticed in the last lesson, I was blowing my nose a lot, that's why. But we really want to thank you, Mark, for doing this. And I just want to stop for a second and thank a few people for their contribution to this congregation. Thanks to Larry and Pat. Thanks to Brian. Thanks to Mike, Mark, and Denny for taking care of this project. But more than that, I just want to thank you for the men and women that you are. You know, I think that if I look at my 59 years of life, it has been mostly pain. And so it's really interesting and appropriate that we're talking about death today, because the life I chose has so much pain associated with it that it's really difficult not to just focus on the pain. You know, the tribulation of friends who betray you, the tribulation of family members who betray you, the tribulation of broken dreams and unfulfilled promises, and all the things that happen to you in life causes a lot of pain. And I can tell you that for the 59 years that I've been on the earth, the pain has been my focus. And in the process of that, what has gotten lost a lot of times is the people. And you fail to notice the people that are around you. You know, and I have people around me who are absolutely amazing human beings. Now, in the matter of this video project, you know, I have Deacon Denny, I have Mark. You know, you guys have been supporting me for years, faithfully, never a problem, never an issue. If I call you, you help. And it just, everything in our relationship is effortless and smooth and wonderful. Larry has come in and completely changed the face of Barah Ministries. You know, when I get help from you, Debbie, on the weekends, that used to be the most painful part of my week, is coordinating getting help on the slides. Everything in this congregation now is absolutely effortless. And it's because of the people that I'm talking about. June has been here, and since she's been here, you know, the first thing she said is, I'm going to be here. And so there are a bunch of people in this congregation that are just like that, you know. And you know who you are. We're just friends. We're solid. And we have the non-resident congregation. And, you know, I'm sure they aren't sitting there thinking today, you know, I did that video. I'm the reason that they can have that video over there in Phoenix. Well, you are. And your checks come in on a regular basis, and you're just as faithful and just as wonderful friends as there could be. And if you spend too much time focusing on your pain, you'll miss the people. And there have been a lot of people who've come through this congregation in the 7 years that I've been an ordained pastor and let us down, hurt us, and left. But there's a remnant. And I want to thank you, the remnant. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for everything that you've done to make this church possible and to make this pastor want to get up every week and teach. You make the difference to me. And because of your perseverance, I'm able to focus on the people now and not the pain. I don't care about the pain. Who was it, Carole King? I haven't got time for the pain. Is that who that was? Was it Carole King or was it Carly Simon? Yeah, that's it, Carly. I don't have time for the pain. And, you know, here's me. And I'll say this and get on with it. Everybody here has skeletons in their closet. Everybody here has done stupid stuff in their lifetime. Stuff that if it was published, you would not be proud of. And you know what I think of that stuff? I don't care. I think that's what makes you wonderful. And so you're never going to hear me go, I can't believe that person did that. You're never going to hear me say that, because I really don't care what you do. I expect that in your lifetime you're going to make mistakes. And so before you even make the mistake, forgiven. Then there's treatment of people. You know, there are people who treat me like I like being treated, and there are people who treat me like I don't like being treated. And it, yeah, I love the people who treat me like I like being treated. That's who I'm talking to right now. And the people who don't, okay, it's all right. A slave is not greater than his master. They persecuted my master, they'll persecute me. All right, I accept that. It's no big deal to me, not at all. It's just life, you know? And then there's what I have to give you. And no matter how you treat me, I'm going to keep giving to you. Because that's the commitment that I made to my Lord and Savior, and I'm not backing off of it ever. And I am happy to give all of myself to you all the time. Now, I think once you get those three things in life, life becomes really wonderful. Forget people's mistakes. Treat people better than they deserve to be treated. And keep giving, 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 giving. When you follow that pattern, you're following the pattern of the Lord and Savior. I did not invent that pattern. There's nothing special about me. God always puts the stupidest people up front. And I'm proud to be that person. But, you know, I haven't missed at all that I have you fantastic people behind me. And that, more than anything, is what has allowed me to keep putting one foot in front of the other in this ministry. And our best days are ahead of us. And so this is the next big step in that, and we're really happy about it. I'm looking forward to all the things that we're going to do with this new video and audio and how we're going to reach out and touch people through different media than we've done in the past, in different ways than we've done in the past. So, Mark, thank you so much for your undying support. And Denny, for your undying support. And Mike, my golf partner, and Deb for the slides, and Larry and Pat for the fantastic support. My new wife for abusing me on a regular basis. And June for your wonderful singing. Writing, singing, performing, awesome. All right, so one final thing. I just want to say to the veterans, to the men and women who serve us in the armed forces, who allow us the freedom to be here, I will remember you on Veterans Day as I remember you every day. Thank you very much for your service, and thank you for making it possible for us to enjoy the Word of God without the threat of being shot. And to all our Christians around the world who are being persecuted, we're thinking about you today, too, and we're grateful for the people who are going to come to your rescue. So November 11th is Veterans Day, and please remember to remember. All right, let's take the offering, and that is the time when you get to make a sacrifice on behalf of all the people around the world who can't afford to pay for the study of the Word of God. Your generous contributions make it possible for them to learn about the Lord Jesus Christ free of charge via the internet or via face-to-face teaching. Let's remember to give with the motivation suggested in Scripture in 2 Corinthians 9:7, that each one of us must do what he wants to do, what's purposed in the heart, not grudgingly or ever under compulsion, for God loves a grace-oriented giver. Let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall.
Good morning. I'm Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Bra Ministries and one of the stupid ones up front. I like how he said that right before I got up here. He's getting me back for some of the offerings, I guess. And even though we are sanctioned by God to charge for the many things we provide so you can worship God, we choose not to exercise our right. Therefore, no price appears on any materials from Bra Ministries, so that anyone who desires biblical teaching may have it free of charge. Even though the materials we provide are free of charge, they are not free of cost. So we appreciate it when the Word of God motivates you to give financial support so as to provide biblical teaching both for yourself and for others around the world. So please be generous in your support of God's work through this ministry. And last week during Pastor's lesson, Are you in Adam or are you in Christ? Two words jumped into my head, which were slavery and freedom. When you're in Adam, you're in slavery. And when you're in Christ, you have freedom. We can see that in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. But you see, God doesn't enslave us. We enslave ourselves. And I'm kind of reminded of, you know, my neighbors every week. They're on their four-wheel drive vehicles out and about today, and they're watching football, and they see me as enslaved, having to come to church. But I come to church to be renewed, and I look to eternal life, knowing that this is freedom right here, and you've all chosen freedom to be here. You know, and we enslave ourselves by, you know, when people treat us poorly, do you hold on to revenge? Do you hold on to bitterness? And that's work. That's enslaving yourself. It's enslaving your mind. You know, and there's freedom and forgiveness, just like Christ did. Just free that stuff from your soul. You know, and there's so many things of enslaving us, ourselves. And, you know, we come here because we're free. We're free because a military that allows us to be here. So for the offering, you know, I want to keep that trend going, and I want to free some of that cash in your wallet. You have it enslaved in your purses and your wallets. But I also want to free the time and the talent that you have, because that's also a part of giving to the church. You know, you all have something special, and we've just heard about some of that, some of the help that people have had in here. But there's many more parts that are going to be added in the future. So we always appreciate your giving at the offering, and thank you so much.
How about now? Cool. So the Lord's Supper celebration, the spiritual progression stage called death. When you look back to the cross, what do you see? I see death. It's hard for us to look at the deaths that we experience as spiritual progression. But God the Father allows these deaths to conform us to the image of His Son, just as He allowed His Son to be crushed on our behalf at the cross. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10 says this, "But the Lord God," that's God the Father, "was pleased to crush the Lord Jesus Christ, putting Him to grief, if He would render Himself as a guilt offering, and He did. And He will see His offspring, He will prolong His days, and the good pleasure of the Lord, God the Father, will prosper in His hand." To quote a line from Jesus in the rock opera Jesus Christ Superstar, "To conquer death, you only have to die." And die the Lord did, only to rise from the dead 3 days later. And we celebrate His death and His resurrection today. Now, in our last Lord's Supper celebration, we celebrated the spiritual progression of design. Design always demands a designer. And God the Father has designed a perfect and personal plan for His imperfect creatures. Isn't it nice that He did that? That He developed a perfect and personal plan for His imperfect creatures so that the pressure is off of you to be a perfectionist. Have you ever been around one of those people? "Oh, I'm a perfectionist." Okay, great. Taxi! The last thing you want in life is to be around a perfectionist, somebody who is striving for an ideal that they could never achieve. But God never demanded that from us. He has a design that is perfect and personal for imperfect creatures. And design means that He created that plan a billion years ago with you personally in mind. And while He had you personally in mind, He was crafting a plan for your life. So that's it, design. God has a plan for your life. Acts 2:23, this man, Jesus Christ, was delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God the Father. And you nailed Him to a cross by the hands of godless men, unbelievers, and put Him to death. And in God's design, that death was followed by life. The Lord's death on the cross was immediately followed by His resurrection, the life. And that's why He says of Himself, "I am the way and the truth and the life." So it was with the Jews of the Exodus generation. The death of slavery was followed by a move toward the promised land. So He met at Abraham, and He promised to Abraham that he would have children at a time when Abraham was sexually dead and his wife was barren. Her womb was dead. And He said, "I'm going to take you, Abraham, and I'm going to make a race of people through you. And you're going to have a son, Isaac, and he's going to have a son, Jacob, and a whole line of people are going to come through you." And Abraham's thought was, "Yeah, right. I'm dead. Yeah, that's how I start everything, with death. You're sexually dead, and your wife is sexually dead. Yeah. Your wife's been laughed at for 60 years because she couldn't have kids. And now she's 60, and I'm telling you she's going to have a kid, and I'm telling you at 99... that you're going to have a kid 9 months from now. And that's, by the way, I'm doing that after you didn't believe me and you took matters into your own hand with Hagar, your wife's slave, and came up with a whole another line of people. And I'm going to prosper them too, but this is the line, the Jewish line." Yeah, and it all started with death. And that's kind of funny to us as human beings. Just like Abraham, we scratch our heads and we say, "Well, why would you start it that way, man? Why would you have us go through all these years of wondering whether we were ever going to have kids and all the teasing and all the stuff that happened?" Yeah, that's the way I start everything out, death. In my design, death is always followed by life. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Exodus chapter 14, verse 5. So He takes this group of people, the Jews. Exodus chapter 14, verse 5. He takes this group of people, the Jews, and he puts them in slavery for 400 years. Death. And if you want to know what slavery is like in Egypt, it's like working on the toughest project that you could possibly work on in the middle of July in Phoenix. It's hot. Real hot. And you got to carry some really heavy stuff. So what we're going to do is we're going to read a passage from what happened after that 400 years of slavery, that death, what happened, what followed. So we'll do that after we have a chance to enjoy the elements, because we're going to assess how our God turned death into life for the Jews, and we'll see how he does the same thing for us every day as part of a spiritual progression. So the Lord's Supper, enjoying the elements. Following God's requests, we keep on celebrating Christ and his cross on a regular basis. We eat to remember who he is, his person. We drink to remember his work, which was the voluntary sacrifice that he made on the cross on our behalf. And remember at this time to be grateful for what God has done for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and 24 say, I, Paul, received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, this is and keeps on being my body, which is broken for you. Keep on doing this in celebration for the purpose of remembering me. When we eat the bread during the Lord's Supper celebration, we remember the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 25 and 26 say, in the same way the Lord Jesus Christ took the cup after supper, a cup that represented his death on the cross, saying, this cup is a new testament. This cup is a new covenant being forged with my blood. Keep on doing this celebration. And as often as you drink it, do it for the purpose of remembering me. For as often as you eat this bread, and as often as you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so when we drink the cup, we remember the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The bread is his person, the cup is his work. And as you enjoy the elements, the bread and the cup, enjoy the memory of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as well. And give thanks to the Lord now and always as you listen to the Lord's Supper song. Give thanks.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong.
take a 5-minute break. Welcome back. So, you know, one of the things that I can do now that we have new equipment is I can walk out from behind the podium. So that's what I'm going to do right now. And the camera can follow me, right? Right? So I can do this cool guy stuff now. Isn't that neat? And I can actually come right down close to you if I want to and say, "Where'd you get that donut?" And then, yeah, you know, right here. It's awesome. And we can switch between me and June, if June were over there. But switch over there real quick. Can you switch over to June's slot? There's me. And then we got a little robot camera. We could switch over to June. See, and if June was here, she'd be right here. It's awesome. So we're going to have a lot of fun with that. I think I'm going to bring a whiteboard in here so I can write stuff to you. I've always wanted to do that, to have a board here where I could just go over to the board and write up something cool, a cool diagram every once in a while. So we're real happy. Turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 14, verse 5. I already asked you to turn there, but if you haven't gotten there yet, you should get there. What I want to do is I want to read to you what happened to the Jews who had been in captivity for 400 years. 400 years was the plan. the person who was to lead them out of captivity was Moses. And so he went to the Pharaoh and asked, "Let my people go." And so Pharaoh said, "Yeah, we're kind of tired of you guys anyway, so get out of here." And then Pharaoh had second thoughts. And so we pick up the story right there. What happened when Pharaoh had different thoughts? So Exodus chapter 14, verse 5. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, that the Jews had left, Pharaoh and his servants had a change of heart toward the people. They said, "What is this we've done that we've let Israel go from serving us?" Right? It's kind of like what will happen if we start having really strict border security here in the United States and we start inviting all the Mexicans to leave. Who's going to do the work? Because the Mexicans here will do the work. You know, the Americans are going to do the work. We don't do the work that much. So it's kind of funny how history repeats itself. So he made his chariot ready and took his people with him, and he took 600 select chariots and all the other chariots of Egypt with officers all over them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he chased after the sons of Israel as the sons of Israel were going out boldly. Then the Egyptians chased after them with all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and they overtook them camping by the sea. As Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. And the Jews became very frightened, so the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. Smart move. All right, so they left. They were camping out. Now, by the way, there were 2 million Jews that were making this exodus. And exodus means this going out. Genesis means the beginning. Exodus means the going out. And so there were 2 million people doing this. And so Exodus chapter 14, verse 11, they were frightened and cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, right, they turned to their human leader, and they says, "Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, 'Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." Right? There it is. You can take the boy out of the ghetto, but you can't take the ghetto out of the boy. You can take the Jew out of Egypt, but you can't take Egypt out of the Jews. And they wanted to go back to slavery. That's kind of how it is for us as Christians. We're in Adam, then we become in Christ, and then we start longing for being in Adam again. So a natural progression. But Moses said to the people, "Do not fear. Stand by and watch the deliverance of the Lord, which he'll accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you've seen today, you'll never see them again forever. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent." Translation, shut up. God's got this. Exodus 14, 15. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the sons of Israel to go forward." Why are you crying out to me? Why are you hesitating? Go! "And as for you, lift up your staff," it's a big stick, "and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the sons of Israel shall go through the midst of the sea on dry land. And as for me, behold, I'll harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after you. And I will be honored through Pharaoh and all his army and through his chariots and horsemen. Then the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I am honored through Pharaoh, through his chariots and his horsemen." So the guardian angel of God, who had been going before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them. So the pillar of cloud was this cloud where the guardian angel of the Lord was leading the people to where they had to go. Now, you tell that to a teenager and they say, "Well, why didn't they just take out their iPhones and dial in Israel on their GPS?" Well, there was no GPS at that time. No satellites, none of that. But there was the pillar of cloud that was leading them. Well, the cloud went from in front of them to behind them to protect them. It actually put up a barrier so that no one could actually see them. All right, where was I? Here. So the cloud came between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel. And there was the cloud along with the darkness, yet it gave light at night. Thus the one did not come near the other all night. So there was a break in the action. They both got to sleep, and the cloud separated the two sides. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord swept back the sea by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land, so the waters were divided. So you got this big ocean wall over here, this big ocean wall over here, and completely dry land here, so 2 million Jews could walk right between the two parts of the sea. Only God. The sons of Israel went through the midst of the sea on the dry land, and the waters were like a wall to them on their right hand and on their left hand. Then the Egyptians took up the pursuit, and all of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen went right in after them into the midst of the sea. And at the morning watch, the Lord looked down on the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud and brought the army of the Egyptians into confusion. He caused their chariot wheels to swerve, and he made them drive with difficulty. So the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from Israel, for the Lord is fighting that for them against the Egyptians." See, that was the funny thing, because if you read this story up to this point, the Lord was making it perfectly clear to the Egyptians that the Jews were special to him. He made it perfectly clear. And they got it. You know, he sent them 10 plagues, I think it was. And they got it. Okay, these guys are special to you. Get out of here. And then they changed their mind. And then they go after him again. And the Lord said, "Didn't you hear me the first time? These guys are special to me." And started to cause them to swerve. And they said, "Oh, yeah, we forgot." And now they want to get out of there. They remembered that the whole reason they had let them go in the first place was that these people somehow were causing this tremendous problem for them. And they knew that it had to be divine why this problem was occurring. And so they came to their senses again. So, Exodus 14:26. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may come back over the Egyptians, over their chariots, and over their horsemen.'" So that's what it meant back in verse 14 when it said, "The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent." And just before that, "These Egyptians who you have seen today, you'll never see them again forever." Because in verse 27, Moses stretches out his hand over the sea, and the sea returns to its normal state at daybreak while the Egyptians were fleeing right into it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. They drowned. And do you know that archaeologists are still finding chariots and wheels and pieces in that very area today? And the people who are archaeologists know that this is not a myth. They're finding all those chariots right today. Verse 28, Exodus 14:28. "The waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen, even Pharaoh's entire army that had gone into the sea after them. Not even one of them remained. But the sons of Israel walked on dry land through the midst of the sea, and the waters were like a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. And when Israel saw the great power which the Lord had used against the Egyptians, the people respected the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses." A sick and perverted generation always needs a sign. All right, what's the point of that story? So the Egyptians, the Jews were in Egypt for 400 years, dead, serving, in slavery. Just like us at physical birth, we're in slavery. We're born condemned. We're born in Adam, in slavery, dead. And God uses these deaths and then gives us life. Every death you're going through right now, here's what you need to know if you're a believer in Christ. That death gets your attention, but what's going to happen next is life. So we've got to get used to the fact that death is a real part of how God deals with us. And he's doing it for a specific reason, to let us know that there is going to be life. And we've got to ask ourselves the why of that. Well, as we have studied tribulation, trials, suffering, adversity, affliction, whatever we want to call it, we always think of it as something to be avoided. When we pray, we don't pray, you know, God, I just want to thank you for all the things you've done to screw up my life. I want to thank you for all the hard things you brought into my life. We don't ever say that. Oh, thanks for the prosperity, the blessings, and thanks for the blessings, because the blessings are blessings, and it's blessed that the blessings are blessings. Our life is going well when the fantasy we have in our heads is running. And the fantasy is that one day there's going to be life here on earth that has no tribulation, that has no trials, that has no suffering, that has no adversity, only prosperity and good times. Quite often we look at work as this terrible thing we must endure. And we believers in Christ, like everyone else, are living for the weekend. We're living for that time when we could just relax. And relaxing, of course, means sitting in the front of the television doing nothing. Is that really our idea of prosperity? Doing nothing? Or does prosperity involve intoxicating ourselves with the substance of choice as our escape from reality? Is that living? Hardly. And when we think of life this way, I think we miss a very important spiritual progression. We miss the fact that God has a plan for our lives, a personal plan for each of us, and that one of the most important parts of that life is death. And I can tell you this from personal experience. So I was married before, and that marriage was a death. It was, you know, and there's no other way to say it. It was a death. There was a lot of stuff with it that was just painful. It cut my heart out. And now I have another marriage, and that marriage is life. And if you had told me a year and a half ago that I would be standing in front of you and telling you that I am happy. Right? You feeling me on that, girlfriend?
I'm feeling you.
If you had told me that I was going to stand in front of you and say, I'm happy that I have the one that was meant for me, that I have a family that actually likes me, I would have told you that you were high. Honestly. Never saw it coming. Never saw it coming. I have a phenomenal woman in my life that I am crazy about. And I sit here every day. Every day I get up and I scratch my head and I ask myself, is this real? Is this really happening to me? Do I really get to spend another day with this woman? It's mind-boggling to me. I feel like the kid that the pessimist kid. You know, there's the pessimist kid and the optimist kid. And the pessimist kid, they put him in a room and they said, I'm going to put you in a room for 24 hours. What are your favorite toys? And he tells them they put all his favorite toys in the room. And when they come back 24 hours later, he's crying. And they ask him, why are you crying? And he said, because I have all these great toys in here, all the toys that I've ever wanted in my whole life, and I just know you're going to take them away from me. That's exactly how I feel with my relationship with Lila. Every day, in my mind, I'm doing the pessimist thing. So, okay, when's somebody going to take this away from me? Yeah, well, there's the other kid. Yeah, the optimist kid. And they put him in a room full of manure and left him there for 24 hours. And when they came back, he was completely covered in manure. And they asked him, why are you covered in manure? He said, well, with all this manure in here, I know there's a pony in here somewhere. So he was checking it out. I haven't made the leap over to the optimist kid yet. But do you know what I mean? I mean, I just never saw this coming. Never saw it coming that the death of the previous family, all the deaths of relationships would result in God saying, okay, do you see what doesn't work? Do you see? And a lot of that was my fault, too. So don't think that I'm saying, oh, I was victimized. I was not victimized. And to see God take all of that as the education process and say, okay, now, here, life. And you know what? Hey, maybe I'm standing up here in a year and saying, you know that Lila? You know what I was telling you about Lila about a year ago? Yeah, that woman you gave me? That's right, Mike. That woman you gave me? You see what happened now? Yeah, maybe that's what happens. I don't care. I don't care because just for the moment, just for this little bit of time to have a relationship this fantastic is just beyond words. That's our God. He doesn't create death. He allows it. And then he does his thing, life. That's the whole thing. So I think a lot of times we look at these things that we have to endure and we long for something different than that. You know, when we see the deaths, we don't really enjoy the deaths, knowing what the deep appreciation is that it's going to create for us when we have life. And I think when we think of life this way, I think we miss a very important spiritual progression. We completely miss God's lessons in the matter. Where do these deaths come from? They come from the kingdom of death, also known as the kingdom of darkness. We blame God for everything, but we forget that God has an enemy. And a lot of times the enemy is us, Pogo. We have seen the enemy and he is us. Many times we use our will against ourselves and we become our own worst enemies. And if God were running the world without the interference of Satan and the kingdom of death, there would be no misery. There's not going to be any misery in heaven. No more sorrow, no more tears. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come, a place exceeding and abundantly beyond anything we could ever ask or think. Tribulations, trials, suffering, adversity, and affliction are all things that God allows, but they are not things that God sponsors for us. God's lesson in these things encourages us not to seek the enticements of Satan's kingdom, all of which lead to death. See, he's always inviting us to this thing that's supposedly going to set us free, and it always enslaves us, and we always get the bill. God allows these deaths to teach us what Satan offers. And then the Lord contrasts what Satan's offers with what he offers, which is life. In short, God always steps in during our affliction to provide the contrast. He moves us from death to life. When we're born in Adam, God steps in and offers us a life in Christ. When life is bitter, God offers us the sweet. When we have lack, God meets the need. When we have hunger, God provides the food. When we thirst, God provides the refreshment. When an enemy persecutes us, as our Jewish friends were experiencing, God delivers us from the hands of the enemy. Look at what happened to the Jews of the Exodus generation. Look at what happened to the Egyptians. When we have tribulation, God uses it to teach perseverance. When we persevere through trial after trial after trial after trial, God uses it to shape our character. When we have character through the many trials, God gives us hope. And what is the hope? God's hope is the absolute confidence that he will not disappoint, that he will provide for us, that he will deliver for us. When there is winter, God gives us summer. The kingdom of death only has difficulties for you, designed to cause bitterness, dissatisfaction, and heart hunger. But the Lord Jesus Christ has sweetness and satisfaction, and he fills our emptiness, as it says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. It says, don't get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation. It doesn't say don't drink. It says don't get drunk. See? So there's a verse that says, oh, have a little wine for your stomach and your frequent ailments. Okay. But here is the contrast. Don't get drunk. Don't lose touch with reality. Don't go over into Satan's program and do what he says, because he's not in touch with reality. He's lying to you. He's enticing you. He's going to suck you in. He's going to hit you in your face. He's going to leave you in the gutter. He's going to give you a bill. Don't do that. And instead, do this. See, that's the whole New Testament. The whole New Testament is don't do this, do that. Stop doing that, do this. And what is the do this? Be filled by means of God the Holy Spirit. Let him be your filling. He's going to bring you the things that fill you up. You know what it feels like to be filled up? It feels boring. It feels boring. You know, when you are satisfied, it doesn't feel, it's not like that. It's so calm. If you eat a great meal and your body is in perfect equilibrium, it just feels so calm. You don't feel all that gnarly behind your neck that you feel when you drink coffee and you get an insulin reaction. God is so good. He is so good to us. Don't get drunk with wine. That's dissipation. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. See, God uses the experiences of death to give us an appreciation for life. For the Jews of the Exodus generation, the death of 400 years of slavery was followed by the life of salvation as they crossed the Red Sea. And they were finally free forever from their oppressors, the Egyptians. Tribulations, trials, sufferings, adversity, afflictions, these deaths are all the things that God allows, but they are not the things that God sponsors for us. God uses these things to illuminate the kingdom of death's offer and to counter it with life. The crucifixion and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ set the pattern for God's design, and it is our pleasure to enjoy it as we remember it. Design starts with death. Promises of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't fear. Stand back and see the deliverance of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. So humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might promote you at the proper time. Slamming all your cares on his back, because God considers your problems to be his responsibility. He cares for you. Closing song, Redeemer.
Who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? And who told the ocean you could only come this far? And who showed the moon where to hide till evening? Whose words alone can catch a falling star? Well, I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. All of creation testifies, life within me cries, and I know my Redeemer lives. The very same God who spins things in orbit, oh, he runs to the weary, the worn. And the same gentle hands that hold me when I'm broken, they conquer death to bring me victory. Well, I know my Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. payment for my sins is the spiritual death he gave. And now he's loving. There's an empty grave.
Did he have to die first? Oh, yeah, he died first, and now he lives. Thank you, June. That was beautiful. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of dying, because we know that you use these deaths to prove who you are, the one who gives us life. And we pray that all those people who are at the other end of this message might realize that the tribulations that you're experiencing in your life right now are those deaths, self-induced or other-induced, whatever it happens to be, but that the Redeemer lives and he will step in, he'll intervene, and he will take you to life. And we pray, Father, that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that are an accurate reflection of your unconditional love for all of us. Your magnificent person, your lucid thinking, your divine work, and your perfect essence. And we ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for watching. Thanks for coming. Thanks for listening. Video.